Then we have future programmer Matt Tombers here, who's done amazing things for the station, by the way, Ellen. You know that, right?
I know that. Matt, could you come and let us interview
you
for
don't be shy,
a
Matt.
Few minutes?
I know you're not.
We understand. Here we are with
your first lesson. Get on that mic and stay right on it. Here's a question for you, Matt. What do you plan to do on your morning show? Have any ideas?
Well, Alana, who was just here, is going to be my first guest because Alana is one of my oldest friends here in Hudson.
Yeah.
And she has witnessed more change than I have. And I've been around here for about 15 years, and mm-hmm. she's been around here for about 20, 21.
I've been here 22.
Well, la-di-da. Well, this isn't a competition, Ellen.
You know, Ellen, if I had known you earlier and longer, I would ask you to be a guest on my show, but you already have your own platform. You don't need my platform.
No, it's all right. I just don't want you to overexpose
Alana,
the lovely Alana.
Oh, never. and I'm going to be doing some news, and I'm going to be talking to some other people. I sent out some invitations.
Cool.
One of the things that I did was a very good friend of mine is the CEO and executive director for the Center for the Digital Future at the University of Southern California's Annenberg School of Communication.
Wow. How come we don't get guests like that, Alan?
And his name is Jeff Cole. And I reached out to see if he would talk about how technology is changing rural communities, mm-hmm. particularly ones like Hudson, which are within proximity of a large metropolis, and how technology is impacting that. That's one of, I don't know whether he'll say yes, but I think he will, because he's a good guy, and he lives half his time in New York and half his time in Los
Angeles.
This
is already sounding more interesting than our program.
That's not hard.
Competition is a good thing.
That's right. We're going to have to step up our game.
Yes, we
And I'm counting on you, Ellen. Where's all your contacts? What happened to them all?
Well, you know, and so, a couple of other things. I subscribed to some emails, you know, from some interesting places like Popular Mechanics that talks about how robotics is changing things, which I think is a big, interesting thing. So, you know, it's going to be a little news, a little conversation with guests. I'm going to ask
music? Music?
Oh, absolutely. Jazz.
Jazz. Okay.
Jazz in the morning. That's a good thing.
Jazz in the morning. Mm-hmm. I listen almost Indeed. Exclusively to jazz, except when I really need to focus. And then I go, Alexa, play the station Classical for Focus.
And then you actually have a thing you talk to?
I've got an Echo, and so in fact I have two of them. I have one in my bathroom so that I can hear it when I'm playing in the shower.
Okay,
and I have one in the living room, and I get up and I say, Alexa, what's the weather in Clovark, New York today?
That's just too weird.
And you know, it's funny. I have an Echo, but it's my wife. I say, honey, what's for breakfast? She says, what's for breakfast? Sorry.
So, yes.
Oh, an Echo.
So I have an Echo, and you know, you can ask her silly questions. I asked her the other day whether she worked for the CIA. She didn't say anything.
Ask her if she shares her information with any agencies.
I haven't asked that, but I will when I get home tonight.
Ask her if she speaks Russian.
That's another question I will ask her. She probably does. I mean, she's artificial intelligence. And so, I have a bunch of playlists on Amazon Music that I listen to, and most of them are jazz.
The other thing about, one of the things about this station, I should say, is you have to learn how to pronounce all the town names.
I know.
Or not. And then you could be sort of charming.
Yeah.
And say things like Valety and Schuylerville or whatever. What is that one?
Schuylerville,
yeah.
Schuylerville.
Well, when I was first up here, I have a taxi driver that I use as often as I can. His name is Jerry Eisner. And Jerry would pick me up on Friday nights when I was just being a weekender and take me out to the house. And I'd say, 98 Patruden Street in Claverack. And for months, he said, if you're going to sound like you live there, say Claverack.
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 Yeah, it takes a while to get that
right. It
does.
Yeah. And I still slip sometimes. I'm not perfect. Gosh knows I'm not perfect.
Alan still says Hudson.
She has never done that in my presence.
I know.
So that's kind of what my morning show is going to be about. It's going to be about a bunch of things, some guests. I would like to have Fail Green in before she leaves our beloved town.
I saw that.
Hurry.
I heard
yes, I know.
Living.
They're leaving at the first of May. They're going.
And Ellen, you're going to go buy one of her scarves?
I don't know. I was thinking of she's having a scarf
sale.
Yes. A scarf sale
to benefit the Hudson Opera House.
Well,
as if they need more money. Sorry,
Phil. he is so snarky. You've got to stop it.
I can't stop him. I mean, he's your on-air partner.
You're right, and I'm going to walk out the studio.
Oh, no, God forbid.
If he doesn't stop it.
I'm sorry.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, anyway. You know. But I used to study broadcasting. Mm-hmm. There was a wonderful story about two people in New York who had a morning show.
Oh, what were the names?
I don't remember their names.
But Dorothy Kilgallen.
No, not as famous as that. But both of them were really big imbibers in the evening. Mm. And so they were doing it on a stage. And so during the commercial breaks, they run off and put oxygen masks on to try to clear out the head. But those were the days in radio.
I will keep it to myself, Ellen. I won't tell him about that.
Okay.
About Ellen's oxygen runs.
See, he's being snarky again.
Don't throw anything at that. They can't see that. So
no, they
be
can't. A visualization of what just happened. Ellen threw a pen at Tom DiPietro.
Almost. Yes.
Not totally.
Didn't do it.
So... Yeah.
So where were we? What were we talking about?
You
were
about asking, Matt's show. Matt's show.
And so I've been talking about my show.
Oh, we were talking about pronouncing town names.
Pronouncing
Accra, which is one of the places Accra. Where one of our studios.
Which you have to say.
Accra. You have to say that.
WGXC, Accra.
WGXC, Accra, because are licensed to Accra, even though the studio is here in Hudson.
Right. That's right.
Right.
And Matt knows this because
he knows about
the station, and he has worked fervently to increase the amount of... Underwriting. Underwriting.
Well, I've been a little lax the last few weeks as I've been deep in a consulting project, so I've been working on that more than... other things, but I've got a pause in that.
Your career has been media related, right? Is that mainly?
Yeah. Well, I started out life as a high school English teacher. Media was an accident.
Usually is. program is an accident.
You stole my line. Where did you teach?
I taught in Richfield, Minnesota, Minneapolis, at the Academy of the Holy Angels, which was an all-girls school at one time, which my sister went to. Hmm. And then when I was finishing my master's, it had become a coeducational school, as most diocesan and Catholic high schools were doing at the time to stay alive. And I heard there was a job as an English teacher, and I applied, and I got hired, and I taught there for 3 years. And then one night it was being Minneapolis, and it was 73 degrees below zero wind chill factor. Mm.
73.
Do not be outside for more than 3 minutes, or you will begin to die unless you're in a spacesuit. So,
I like that voice, Ellen. We have nothing like that, but go ahead.
So I left. When I finished that year, I left, moved to California, and one of my first temp jobs was working at a radio station called KMPC Radio.
Cool.
Wow.
Where, I don't know, you would remember, I don't know if people out there would remember. Remember Laffin?
Oh, yeah.
Remember the guy who put his...
Gary Owens.
I worked with Gary Owens.
Oh, wow.
I worked with Gary Owens. I helped produce 4 live radio shows that Gary was in for the U.S. Committee for UNICEF.
You see, we can't hold a candle to that. We have no experience.
Well, speak for yourself, Ellen.
You've got...
Oh, come on, Ellen. Please.
No, we used to do fake radio shows at the Opera House.
Oh, really?
Norman Posner and I did the Bickersons. Do you remember the Bickersons program?
No, I remember the Bickersons.
It was before my time, too, of radio listening.
Yeah, sure. Sorry. Did I say that?
Snarky. Anyway, but it's a great station. I love being here most of the time.
I've loved being associated with the station, and I'm really delighted that I get a chance to be on air.
And you can put good packages of ads and things together for people, is that right?
I do. I do not ads. We do not do advertising. We do,
we do underwriting.
Underwriting.
Sorry.
Very much like
Sorry.
What you hear on National Public Radio. We do underwriting spots. And we've got some wonderful people who have been underwriting us. Alana at the Red Dot is one of our underwriters.
I love the fact that she read her her own
I know.
Ad.
Oh, she's got a good voice.
Spoke
so why
she
not,
does.
Right?
Yeah.
She does. Very good singer, too.
Yep.
I did not know that.
Yes, she is.
Did
she has
know?
Not
did
publicly
you know that,
perform.
Ellen?
Do I what?
Did you know she was a good singer?
I did.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah.
Well, you know, hijinks at the Red Dot.
Yes, of which there are many.
And which Ellen claims she's not a part of.
No comment.
Exactly.
I'm going to stop commenting.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I might still... Throw a few things.
Maybe I should go back to my corner where I'm an observer. And,
no, sit right in the middle.
That's what I was going to say. Sit between us.
Yeah, sit right between hands apart. Ladies and gentlemen, I am now standing between Tom DePietro and Ellen V. Thurston, Virginia, which was the name of my favorite cousin, Virginia. She was 40 years older than I am, but she was my favorite cousin. I'm the youngest son of the youngest son of the youngest son.
I'm the youngest child in my family. Tom is the youngest child in his family.
Once again, I am not, but that's all right. I'm the third of four.
Ah.
Oh, you are?
Yeah. You know, should I play the tape of previous shows where we've established that?
No, I think you misled me. You misled me.
Oh, that's because I don't speak to my younger brother. How would that ever happen? How could somebody like me not speak to a brother?
See,
yeah, why is that? How is that?
Because he's a bigger dope than I am.
See, and I speak to my brother every day.
Yeah. Well, my other brothers I used to, but they managed to die.
Oh, that's too bad. I'm sorry.
I speak to them every day.
Yeah. No, I speak to my brother every day.
You do?
Yeah. Well, after we had this long period of silence in our lives, and then we sort of mended our fences about 35 years ago, and now we talk every day.
I never quite understand when families get into the situation where you hear somebody say, I haven't talked to my sister for 17 years. You know, I mean, granted, my sister and I don't get along well when we're together, but we do talk occasionally on the phone.
Well, it's funny you mention that, because the other day I was trying to think, why do I hate my younger brother? Oop, there's a phone.
Oops.
And I'm not sure anymore.
Is that him calling you now?
I doubt it.
You're not sure anymore.
No, I'm not sure.
Why? Isn't that funny? What did you think before?
I'm not sure. He did some very bad things.
Well, there you go.
See, I
reason enough.
But that shouldn't stop me from, you know, talking to him.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, you know, have a confrontation. You know, that's how my brother and I got together. I just said, look, I'm really angry. And he went, wow, wow. And I said, mm-mm. And we had this long dialogue, and now we talk every day. But, nice. You know, often it's cases of adolescent sibling rivalry that have remained unresolved.
That's true.
And don't get resolved.
Yeah, now this is a case of adult evil.
Well, they say usually after the kids are grown up or the parents are gone, the sibling rivalry tends to fall away, too. Mm. You don't find that to be true?
Well, I know that after my mother passed away and she was the last surviving parent, my brother and sister went through a period where they did not converse with each other. You know, my brother would call me and say, call your sister and ask her this. And my sister would call. And I said, hey, you know, I don't have to be. So finally, you know, one day my brother's a doctor and my sister's husband was ill. And my brother got on a plane and flew to Florida and helped get things all stabilized. And they've been talking ever since. But it all had to do about something that happened when my brother and sister were 4 and 6. Who knows?
Yeah.
But now they're very close. They talk frequently.
How often do you talk to your sister, Ellen?
Once a month, maybe.
That's all.
That's all.
Okay.
Sometimes more often.
Doesn't she call to make sure you're recycling?
Oh, yeah, she's very big on recycling. No, we've been talking about, you know, I'm the executor of my father's estate, so there are
your brother's
things that
estate.
My brother's estate. Thank you.
You're welcome.
How do you know that and I don't?
I'm not going to go into that.
All this time I thought it was my brother. No. I misspoke. I think as people get older, too, I don't know if we get mellower, but...
Oh, I think that's true.
I guess, yeah.
Not always, but often I've seen that happen with a number of my relatives.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to have any call-ins on your program?
Absolutely. If people want to call in, I will call them in.
We issue the invitation quite often.
697-7400. If you want to call in and become part of this conversation.
Explain to Tom what a fisher is, the animal called a fisher.
If it really exists.
It does
other than
exist.
In Ellen's imagination.
Why don't you pick up your phones and Google it?
Oh, we're not that type.
That's too easy.
I see you, Matt. You're like with that little device all the time. We're not up to that.
Yeah, no, I am. I just got an iPhone 7 Plus. So okay. Because then I can read more easily. I'm okay. older now, and so it was getting hard to read on the 5S, so I went to the 7 Plus.
So the font is bigger?
The whole screen is bigger, too.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it carries around a phone now, and that's like 12 inches by 12 inches. Now, how big is the phone? It's got to be pretty big.
About 3.5 by 7.
Wow. That's big.
Yeah, but it works really well.
How do you
like
put it in your pocket? You can put it in your pocket, right?
My front pocket, yes.
Okay.
You know, when I just said font, I thought, he knows what I mean by font. And you know, Tom, what I mean by font. And
the kids do too, you know.
The kids do too. But I think what the kids don't know, maybe, is what is a CC? What does that mean?
Carbon copy?
Yeah. But I don't
All right. Because it comes up on the screen just saying CC. And
CC or BCC.
And of course, there's no carbon involved.
There's no carbon.
I remember when there was carbon.
Oh, yeah. I remember carbon.
What a mess that was.
Carbon paper.
Yes, and I remember mimeographs.
I remember what was the IBM typewriter that...
Selectric?
The Selectric typewriter.
That was a nice one.
With that little ball that you put in, you could change the font.
But the mimeo machine, when I was teaching English, I had to run off...
The mimeograph?
They wouldn't let us use... The copier, because that was expensive.
Exactly.
Run off the mimeo with that purple stuff, and you go going to class completely covered in purple ink,
and completely mind addled.
Right,
fumes.
From the smell. Yeah, exactly. It was all done in one room at this point, and the room stuff. You know, you just walked into that room, and it just was overwhelming.
Put you to sleep.
That purple haze.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all through my brain. Yeah, no, that was the same in my high school. We had a Xerox machine, and after the first month, we were discouraged from using it to go back to the mimeo.
It's like a little printing press.
It's like a little printing press.
But it was a total
lots
mess.
Of, liquidy stuff. Yeah.
There was some gel plate or something?
There was a different layers you had to put together and then roll them on. Yeah. It was just a big pain. Yeah, you typed onto this paper that had one side that was like the jelly part. Mm-hmm. And that part you then put on the roller.
The drum.
The drum, right. And then roll the... Oh, God, it was such a pain in the butt. And to make corrections was really difficult if you'd already typed it.
I was going to say, it's probably impossible.
No, you could, but it was really hard.
Hmm. Well, my recollection was sometimes saying, I don't care if there's a typo in there. It's got to go to press now. I've got English 103 coming up.
Oh, that's the teacher speaking.
Yeah,
that was the teacher speaking.
Mm-hmm. And of course, the students love to receive the piece of paper and then snort it. Because you know how students are.
Yeah.
Always
yeah.
looking to get high. Hmm. Remember those college days, Ellen?
Yeah.
That's right? Oh, so you're confirming it.
No
anyway.
comment. Okay.